The Mythbusters concept for federal contracting reform is almost 4 years old. In February of 2011, Dan Gordon, who was the administrator of federal procurement policy then, said Mythbusters would help to solve a culture of miscommunication between agencies in the contracting industry. Roger Waldron's president of the Coalition for Government Procurement, and using Mythbusters as a jumping off point for the 2014 Fall Training Conference. Roger, if I heard one thing about Mythbusters more than others in the past year or so, one concept that I would attach to it, that concept is unfulfilled potential. Do you think that's a reasonable sentiment for people to have when they think and talk about Mythbusters now, Roger?
I think that's a fair characterization or description of sort of where we are right now. I think there continues to be a growing an acknowledgement from senior leadership at the various procurement organizations that communication between government and industry is vital to solving the problems that government faces, that our nation faces. But turning that, it's like turning an ocean liner, right? I mean, that would be cliche about it, but it takes some time, it takes some effort. And we're also coming, quite frankly, out of a period where I think there's been, events have chilled that communication between government and industry just generally. The GSA Expo has gone away, for example. But I do think, and people do understand, that we're all in this together and we've got to communicate better. It's one of those things where it's a risk issue, right?
Mm-hmm.
To a certain extent. And if government people, folks feel that they're at risk by communicating, it's incumbent upon leadership to make it clear that, yes, you can communicate. Yes, you can take some risks. That's fundamental to moving forward, to progress in the procurement system. So I think it's unfulfilled, but I do think there is that acknowledgement of it, and it's just a question of, the day-to-day operational working on that, educating the workforce. We have a young workforce, or relatively young workforce, folks coming in, and then there's the older folks who are still here. It's sort of a bathtub effect, right? So some of it will take experience. Some of it will take training. Some of it will, obviously, the key to it is leadership. And I think I'm optimistic that over time, that leadership will take the field or win the day. But it is an ongoing process, and because there's stakeholders and areas where, that risk, whether it's bid protest or whatever, people think that if I talk, I might talk to industry, I might get in trouble, and we've got to, burst that bubble. That is a myth. That's why we call it Mythbusters.
Right. Here's the reason I'm optimistic, Roger. I hear more people than ever talking about wanting to take risks, not just being willing, actually wanting to do it. Yeah, I'm up for it. Let's try a couple of things, not just going willy-nilly, but let's take measured, thoughtful approaches to trying things that haven't been done before. The holdup always seems to be the fear of oversight and the zero defect mentality that the oversight community seems to have. And it's not just Congress. It's also the IG community, and it's also the GAO to some degree. And not necessarily that the IG community or GAO is going to beat people over the head, but what Congress then might be able to do once, and how they might be able to beat somebody over the head once they have information about what GAO has found. So I guess indirectly it does come back to Congress primarily that is driving that apprehension to do any kind of risk at all, let alone anything that might not turn out to be successful.
Well, I think, that's a great point, Francis, and progress does not come without risk. Whether it's progress in science, progress in business, progress in making the government more efficient, more effective, and deliver better value for the citizens, you have to take risks and all those things to be able to move forward and improve. And I think that recognition that, you may try something, it may fail. It may fail more than once. But to get to that ultimate success, that's part of that process. I think there is recognition of that, as you know, but I think it's something that we have to continue in the procurement community talk about and accept that risk. Because if you give good people, the opportunity and the discretion to take risks and try to do their job, they're invariably going to get to the end point that you want them to get to. There may be stumbles along the way, but that's part of a process, and you don't improve or you don't become better as an organization or as a government unless you take some of those risks at the operational level to try to get to a better place.
Roger, you and the coalition are getting ready for the big fall training conference. You've titled it 35 Years in Government Procurement, Looking Back and Moving Forward. I'm particularly interested in the moving forward part, and I'm particularly interested because you said that you are optimistic about what you see in the future. In addition to what you've already discussed, what are some things that have you optimistic about the future of government procurement?
Well, first, I think that the idea that people recognize that you do have to take risks. I guess I'm by nature an optimist. I think that when we do have these conversations, we can between government and industry, we can get to a better place in terms of processes and procedures. Is it kind of messy? Is it can it be frustrating? Yes. And I also frankly think that it's imperative that people recognize that it's imperative that we have to improve the operation of government. And the procurement system touches every aspect of government operations in terms of providing services and products and whether it's cybersecurity or just the laptops and the infrastructure that any business would have in place, the government has in place as well. And understanding that we have to do a better job to support the mission, I think fundamentally, we'll get to a better place. And you can use the other cliches, Francis, right? The pendulum always swings. We've gone through a period of significant oversight, a lot of focus on the negative. I think it's time for us to try to focus on the positive, and that's what we do, with our Excellence in Partnership Awards. That's what we try to focus on in the conference. We're bringing together government and industry to talk about common issues, operational concerns, because that's where the rubber meets the road, at the operational level, where the managers and the frontline troops, so to speak, can make a difference in improving the process, and that's who we bring together at our conference. I guess that's where I'm at, and I think accentuating the positive and identifying and honoring folks who have made a difference, which we do with our Excellence in Partnership Awards. That's part of our effort and our contribution to try to make things better.
You've got a bunch of very distinguished award winners, and we'll put a link to the list at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth later this afternoon. The gala for the event is November 5th, the evening of November 5th at the Ronald Reagan Building, downtown, right up from the White House. The conference is November 6th, and we'll put your agenda up there as well, Roger. One of the things that you're doing that I think is pretty neat is a scholarship. Tell me about that.
Yes. The 35th anniversary celebration is November 5th, the night of November 5th at the Ronald Reagan Building. And, the central focus of the celebration is actually honoring our veterans and the coalition, our membership, and our board of directors. We all agreed that this year one of the things that we would do to try to honor their 35th anniversary and support our veterans is create a endowed scholarship at the George Washington University that would go to a deserving veteran who is studying federal acquisition and is enrolled either in the George Washington University Law School or in their master's program that focuses on government procurement. So it sort of brings together the things that we care fundamentally about. The coalition's full name is the Coalition for Common Sense in Government Procurement, and there's nothing more common sense than educating the acquisition workforce and supporting them, and this scholarship does that. And the other thing that we passionately care about are our veterans and support for them. So this scholarship combines those two fundamental principles or passions that the coalition and its membership support.
Well, I wish you good luck with this event. The only thing about it that I'm a little skeptical of is whether I can pull off any winning bids in your silent auction, because you got some pretty cool stuff on here.
Well, yes, the silent auction that we're holding, all the proceeds for the silent auction go directly to the scholarship at GW. So it's a great event. It's for a great charity that and supporting our veterans in their education. So, and we're looking forward to that silent auction and raising some money for that scholarship.
All right. Well, good luck with it all, Roger, and thanks for coming on this afternoon.
Thank you, Francis.
Roger Waldron's the president of the Coalition for Government Procurement. Hey, Roger, my only other fear is that you're going to be on the Federal News Countdown tomorrow, right?
Oh, I'm looking forward to that.
And you're going to be on with Stan Soloway. My only fear is that you're not going to get a word in edgewise. So be ready to be aggressive, okay?
I think I'll be fine.